reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did just as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Normally, when we think about the Holy Family, we think first about Jesus. Second, we think about his mother, the one who was immaculately conceived from the first instant of her existence on earth. And often we can be tempted to think about Joseph as a divine afterthought. If you understand baseball, almost as a player to be named later in a big trade who nobody even cares about. But he's far more than that. Why did God choose St. Joseph to raise his son to be a man of God according to his humanity? It wasn't just because he was a descendant of David, so that his foster son would be able to have claim to that title, the son of David, as God promised through the prophet Nathan to David in today's first reading. After all, there were many other members of David's descendants. Some of them would have been rich and not have to have had the Son of God have a foster father carry poor turtle doves up to the temple, but could have afforded a lamb. Could have chosen a somebody in the eyes of the world, so that when they were traveling, when Mary was pregnant, the innkeepers would have found space. Could have chosen a rabbi from among the descendants of David rather than a carpenter, so that Jesus would have learned that art even more than he did when he was growing up. He didn't. Chose a humble construction worker. That's what the word tekton means in Greek. Not just a carpenter. He worked with all types of other substances. Why? Because when God the Father looked at the one he wanted to be a human father to his only son, he saw far more in Joseph than what he didn't see. The virtues that he had were much stronger than, in the eyes of the world, the deficits he might have as a dad. What were those virtues? There were many, but I'd like to focus on three this morning. First, St. Joseph was a man of deep faith. It says in the Gospel today that he was a righteous man. Means that he was right with God. He was just to God and to others. He lived by the Lord's law. We see how faithful he was and how obedient he was. To be faithful means that you live in a covenant with the Lord and you keep your end of the deal. And he did. He was incredibly obedient to the Lord. Just think about it. Three times in dreams, God gave him something to do, and it wasn't easy. Take this woman who's pregnant, because she wasn't impregnated by any man, and take her as your wife into your home. And he believed in the Lord and did it. Later, he was awakened again and said, "Flee! Leave your job behind, leave your country behind, go to Egypt, because Herod's after my son." And he believed again. When he was there in Egypt, a third dream saying, "Herod's dead, you can return." And he got up and he returned. It would have been easy for him to deconstruct his dreams. to say, maybe I was just thinking something. Maybe it was just my subconscious speaking to me about some unconscious fears. But he didn't. He always acted with faith. He didn't find obedience to God a threat. He found that the path to real fulfillment. And he wants to teach us all, likewise, how to be just with God. Second great virtue he shows us is the virtue of how to work hard for God. Jesus was his apprentice in the workshop there in Nazareth. Jesus was saving us even by doing that honest work. Joseph teaches us that work is supposed to be centered on God, that work is in a sense supposed to be prayed. Whether it's the work of carpentry, whether it's the work of engineering, whether it's the work of being a hard-working student, a diligent student, all of it is meant to be done focused on God and offered to God. St. Joseph has always been the patron saint of the gospel of work, because we're supposed to preach Jesus by the way we work. He taught Jesus how to work hard according to his humanity, how to work well. He wants to teach us that same great skill. And the third great virtue St. Joseph teaches us is how to love. He shows us both paternal love and he shows us chaste love. Paternal love. There are a few qualities to being a dad, but one of the most important is to be a protector. And he put his life on the line to protect Jesus and Mary, defending them, taking them to Egypt, preventing them from Herod's hateful henchmen. I've always thought that St. Joseph should be not only the patron saint of the church, as Pope Leo XIII made him at the end of the 19th century, but especially the patron saint of the unborn. Never forget that Herod was after Jesus, and he wasn't able to get him because Joseph was a dad who defended his little boy. We need to turn to him to protect us on the way. He wants to raise us just like he helped to raise Jesus according to his humanity. He was also a provider, working hard to put food on the table for the Blessed Virgin and Jesus, even though he had to translocate several times to do his work. He's a protector. He was also a silent worker who spoke by his actions. We don't even have a recorded syllable of St. Joseph in sacred scripture, but by his paternal love, his deeds have never been forgotten. But at the same time, he teaches us about chastity. Whenever we adore his foster son in Eucharistic adoration, we always say, "Blessed be Saint Joseph, her, the Blessed Virgin Mary's, most chaste spouse." Shows us what chastity is and how chastity doesn't suck love out of us and in fact makes us capable of loving for real. He shows us that real love for somebody, giving your life for the sake of somebody else, doesn't have to be expressed in a bodily or genital way. That you can have real love without that expression. That's why he's a special patron for all priests in our celibate chastity. Why he's a special protector of the chastity of women religious and virgins. And why he wants to be a special protector for all those preparing for marriage, so that they might live that time in a most chaste way. St. Joseph was chosen by God the Father to raise his son, and the same God the Father has chosen him to intercede and try to help us so that we can become more and more like that foster son, Jesus. Throughout church tradition, there's always been an expression with regard to St. Joseph. It's taken from the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis about Joseph the patriarch, but it's even more fitting for him. The Latin, you'll see it in a lot of statues to St. Joseph, it's Ite ad Joseph. Go to Joseph. Today, the church throughout the world all goes to St. Joseph. He is the wise and faithful servant of the Lord, to whom the Lord entrusted his whole household. As we prepare to receive in Holy Communion today the foster son he helped to raise, let us remember the love with which St. Joseph used to hold the baby Jesus in his arms when he was in swaddling clothes. That's a sign of the way we're supposed to treasure that same Son of God, whom God the Father is going to put into our arms and within us today. Ite ad Yosef. Go to Joseph. He will guide you. He will teach you how to work. He will teach you how to be faithful. He will teach you how to be chaste and really learn how to love, so that we will go to Joseph all the way at his Son Jesus' eternal right side in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.